Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Round 7 is come and gone, and with it came some big scores and also a return to a form from a lot of our Ruckman, and it leaves us with some difficult decisions to make ahead of Round 8. Let's go!
She's done it from nowhere!
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined by the superior ball boy, the superior coach, Luke, coach of the Oxlongs. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. I'm feeling good. The rank is healthier than it's ever been. So I've been on the right end of a few sliding doors moments that you've pretty much been on the wrong end of. Do you want to lead off with your big stat that you've been working on?
Or? I wasn't actually going to put that on the podcast because I think people would think I'm complaining a bit, but, you know, that's not my style, man. what I was just saying in the podcast is I'm in a shit spot. I've moved back again, not as much as last week, but I've slid back another 1,000 spots. I'm at 11,000. But I don't feel like my team is worthy of an 11,000 rank. I feel like I've got a top 2,000 team here that I'm just getting the wrong rub of the green with some rookies. And had I had my little red dot captain loop, which I normally do, you know, I did a little bit of the math and a few of those things would have me about 30 points away from you when you're sitting right near the 1,000 mark. So,
yeah, looking at your team on paper here, I can vouch for that. It does look like a decent team. There's been a couple of things not quite go your way, but it's the beauty of fantasy. If it was just this formula and there was no luck involved, it wouldn't be half as fun.
So, yeah, 100%. And so I'm gonna put the bad moods, the sulking behind me now, because I tell you one thing that is going well this season.
Tell me
is
more.
Is my advice. I think it's going well. The captains,
okay,
the big boys stood up in a big way. The number one captain pigger in the entire land last week, Luke. So the big boys stood up. Number one trade targets in Dacos and Petrarca last couple of weeks. So we're going.
Yeah,
going all right.
Well, mate, you know I subscribe to your advice and I'm doing all right. And so are a lot of the members on the Patreon as well. So if you haven't gone and checked out the Ball Boys Patreon, make sure you get over there and do that as well. I think at the moment we've got like close to 40 coaches in the top 1,000.
Oh, so, hell yeah.
It's looking pretty good.
Hell yeah, that's awesome to hear. So let's get into some of the awards and we'll start with the sponge and the camel of the week. A lot of acts that we want to highlight this week for good and for bad.
Let's start positive.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Who was absorbent and yellow and porous this week, Mitch?
Well, we're gonna split the award into a duo of two players that played in the same game, but not in the same AFL team, but yes, in the same fantasy team, because there was at least 3 times I counted that Nick Dacos burst from the pack, +3, kicked it to his teammates. I'm not talking about his Collingwood teammates. I'm talking about his fantasy teammates and Zach Reed combined for at least 3 +6s that I could count. Probably more that I stopped counting.
It's good. What do they say? Like, name a more iconic duo. These two, there was
Zach
a patch,
Reed and Nick Dacos.
There was a patch there at the, it might have been at the start of the third or something, where it's like Dacos' first 2 disposals just on the titties of Reed, and he just
hit him,
snaffled
him.
No dramas. So
Thank you very much.
We were frothing it. So that's spongy behavior when you've got players on opposing teams working together.
It's good to know that Nicky Dacos is really, you know, taking the young fellow under his wing and, you know, just helping him along and, giving him the know-how for fantasy owners out there. So, yeah, we did enjoy that one a bit more than maybe we should.
Nice. A couple of sponges. What about our camel?
My hump, my hump, my hump, my hump, my hump.
You ever going to get in on the popping and locking with me?
Yeah, I don't have the music in my ear, so it doesn't. I can't quite. The rhythm would be off. So anyway,
that's why
I reckon we could give this to a coach nearly every freaking week. But we are going to give it to. Well, I think Max Gawn also deserves it, but also Goodwin for, you know, I don't know who said it or who came up with it, or, you know, if Max said he was sore. He had the awesome score, 138, but he sat the last 12 minutes of that game. And I don't care how well you scored, that is camel behavior. That is quenched. We want people getting more points, dominating, putting the foot down. Now, selfishly, I'm happy that it happened.
Oh, we were kissed. That was a guaranteed 150 plus.
That was 100% a 150, maybe a 160 coming our way.
And a lot of people had the VC very wisely too. He was the number one big boy.
He was. But
if you're going to just drop a 12-minute patch on the bench, that's going to earn you the camel of the week.
Yeah,
nobody's safe.
No one is safe. I don't care if you're close to the number one scoring player for the week. You show camel tendencies, we'll point it out. And Max, huge camel tendencies.
Get rid of those humps, Max boy.
Here. So let's go on to the bogs and flogs for this one here.
And the winner of the Norm Smith medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate. You're an embarrassment.
You're an embarrassment to what you do.
Lots of coaches, I think, might have wanted to say that this weekend, and some of them did, maybe it's their players. Let's start with Melbourne versus Richmond. I'm going to give the best on ground. I'm not going to give it to Max, because after his camel behaviour, he doesn't deserve that. I'm going to give it to Jake Bowie and all the kissed owners that have Jake Bowie in their side.
Nothing could ever be a good pick if we missed it. It's just, it's
kissed. No, it's kissed. It's absolutely kissed. You can't tell me a little redhead like Jake Bowie is running around getting 120s.
Hey, not going to play the Tigs every week. And I think, what is it, Melbourne averaging like 118 marks over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've had a good stretch of games, especially for their defenders.
So this, I'm hoping, will dry up. Maybe there's some wishful thinking there. But the flog in this one is Jack Viney, because not only is he making us think, but he's also tagging some of our popular players.
Specifically, Caleb Sarong last week and Timmy Taranto this past week.
So you have a look, and Viney's numbers are going up, his CBAs, his TOG going up, but it's just because he's occupying a spot there to glove people. So we don't like that. But what do we got in the Collingwood Essendon Anzac Day game?
I do just want to give a shout out. Jake Bowie, 109 average his last 3 games, which is absolutely absurd. Collingwood versus Essendon. I'm going to give it to the other Dacos, Josh Dacos. And I'm giving it here because he rewarded the faith that I showed in him. I sort of said, you know, there's going to be a ceiling score coming. We haven't seen it yet, but he put it on display, and he was the better Dacos in the first half last week. He was absolutely racking up the pill, and put up a big 119, 1 point shy of his brother. So definitely going to give him some love for the defender, Dacos. That is definitely someone we'll talk about later for the trade targets.
Nick Martin was the culprit of some floggery on the weekend. He has this way about him where when you're watching the game, you feel like he's everywhere. And then in some instances, he's not everywhere, because a mid-70s score is not going to get it done for a guy that people were considering with his DPP as being a trade-in target. So
bit lazy on the weekend. Only 85% TOG.
Oh, compared to his normal 100% TOG.
That's straight up lazy, I think.
Disgracefully lazy. It's probably camel territory there or whatever.
So, yeah, get on the field, Nick. What are you doing resting on the bench for all that time? Let's go to Frio versus Adelaide. Best on ground, and this is a selfish one. Jordan Dawson. Got a nice ton for his owners.
That was good. You can't be unhappy about a ton.
No, and he's sparing his owners from any risk of injuries.
Smart.
Because he just sat full forward. And, put his feet up. He had 100 points at three-quarter time and then zero in the fourth quarter. So, look, if that was something similar, going into the last quarter, he ended up with a 130, that would have hurt my team even more. So, for my podcast, he gets the best on ground.
Well done, Jordan. The flog, unfortunately, did hurt your team because the flog was Caleb Sarong. Caleb Sarong had 32 touches.
This is outrageous.
And managed to have 33 handballs in his 33 touches.
Nearly.
That is how handball happy Caleb Sarong was on the weekend.
And 75.
He didn't pair it with tackles or marks. So
how do you have 32 touches and score 75? If Jordan Dawson has 32 touches, it's a 120. Like, no questions asked.
Yep.
This Agreed. Is, yeah, it's killing me every single week. I'm regretting trading him in. Even the week I traded him in for the Richmond Tigers, I mean, he scored 101. So far in my team, he's averaging 85, and that's just not good enough.
Can we swap for this next game? I'll do the Bog.
Yeah, okay.
I think you'll want to do the Flog.
Yeah, go Bog.
St Kilda and the Lions, it was Big Wang time, baby.
It was Big Wang!
Enter Big Wang.
He stood up.
I might be incorrect, but I think 2 weeks ago, my spicy take was Big Wang.
Yeah, just a week early.
Yes, yeah, a week early on Big Wang. And I do like a little bit of Big Wang, and we saw it on the weekend.
He is now averaging more than Jack Sinclair.
Hey, well, this is...
So there you go.
There's so many stories this year of those ones where we all...
Just go a bit early.
We all freak out on 1 week. Yeah. You know, Dawson Brayshaw's an example. Wang Sinclair's an example. Sherry English... fantasy.
Yeah, swings and roundabouts, but no, he was very good and in a very poor performing side. Played a little bit more midfield time as well. And yeah,
he was almost exclusively a mid.
Yeah, he was still very good at what he does. The flog for this one, I'm calling him Ross the Cross. Got a bit cross at this one.
I
tried to rhyme it. I couldn't find anything else, but very cross at his player.
It's a stretch. A
little stretch. For subbing out Hugo. Do you know how little time this man actually got onto the field? He not only was subbed out in the second quarter, not as a injury or anything like that, but he played, I think it was less than half the time in the first quarter. So sat on the bench for more than, or about 50% of the first quarter, and then only had a stretch of maybe 8 minutes in the second quarter before he's getting pulled. So he had 20% time on ground.
Ross was very cross. He was cross at Hugo. He was cross at the media after the game.
Yeah. He's cross at me. I swear he's doing this personally.
Oh, you are pretty kissed with Garcia. You got all that cash, Jen, after I traded him. So you just probably be thankful for what you got.
Why couldn't Luke Traynor get on the field this early? You know, like imagine if Luke Traynor was a sub in this game and he got on with 80% tog. 60, what the fuck is this?
No dramas.
Oh, killing me.
Port Adelaide North, you're giving your flowers to the X-Man.
Yeah, Tristan Sherry. I mean, just the fact that Port Adelaide have been a very tough matchup for Rucks so far this year, and he's come out and he is officially back. I think he's put to bed a few of those injury concerns. So he looks like the old Tristan Sherry with back-to-back 116 plus, 122 in this one. And the fact that he also, you know, 23 touches, he looked really good. Couple of good contested marks in this one as well. 6 frees, 4 will help you. So I don't know what the Port Adelaide Ruckman's doing there, but he now goes into a bit of an easier run. Now that big hard stretch is kind of in the rearview mirror now. So this is where I was potentially looking at targeting, but my team is too shit for me to do that.
The iceberg's gone cold, Mitch. And not only has the iceberg gone cold, but he's cooled Kane Farrell as well.
Yeah.
The issue, I was a little hot on the iceberg preseason, but I did say a number of times that I thought the Port Adelaide defenders would do it by committee. And at that time, I didn't even know that their best player was going to be a halfback.
Yeah, Connor Rosie.
So I think that Bergman and Farrell, unfortunately, these are ones that you've got to get off as quick as you can.
GWS versus Bulldogs, we're keeping the ruck love going because Tim English had his biggest game of the season. Nearly made the big boys look, but I couldn't do it. But, you know, it was his chance to shine. He had the 124, so outdid Tristan Sherry again with a couple of big marks late in that game as well. And he also probably dropped about another 25 points.
Massively, yeah. It could have been a 150. Fantasy relevant rucks averaged like 120 plus this
week. Yeah, it was a big week for rucks.
Briggsy brought the average down a little bit.
Yeah, so speaking of Briggsy.
Good segue.
Yeah, he gets the flog in this one because he was a cheap option that was definitely someone we could have traded in a week or two ago, and he has just done nothing to make that look like a positive trade whatsoever. He is playing low time on ground. Might still be nursing some kind of injury. Maybe he's unfit, but yeah, he is leaking cash and not putting up any points. So yeah, massive, massive issue there.
Well, both the Bog and the Flog in the Gold Coast Sydney game actually both started like a house on fire, but so did Sydney. And did you know Gold Coast kicked 12 consecutive goals?
That is absolutely crazy.
It is nuts, considering how well Sydney started. And Sydney have got some injuries, but they still have a talented list. Chad Warner's the Bog because he finally showed us that lovely ceiling that he does have on occasion. But Isaac Heaney cops the flog for starting red hot and then...
just absolutely fading. I did see or hear somewhere that he copped a bit of a corky in this one. So might have been limited in that second half because of that. was paying attention a lot closer in the first half and then sort of tuned back in the second half and sort of, holy shit, Ozak Kini's score hasn't moved at all. But he was great in the first half. But yeah, definitely hit the handbrake in that second half. So that's what gets him the flog. Hopefully he is all right moving forward. But it doesn't get any easier. He might cop a bit of a tag this week. And or maybe Chad Warner. We'll talk about them later.
Carlton and Geelong, we're giving the bog here to TDK because this was clutch. This was as the week progressed.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, you and I both own TDK. A lot of people do. But the way the Rucks were scoring, I was thinking, if TDK does what he's done in the past 2 weeks, this is going to be absolute... decimation for my rank if all the other Rucks have gone 130.
Max Gorn goes big, Tristan Sherry goes big, even Timmy English goes big.
So we were just hoping that TDK could give us something decent, and he came through in the clutch. So well done, TDK.
Yeah, 117 looked great. I will also give a shout out to the unsung hero for this season in George Hewitt.
Bro, what the
who
fuck's
is
going on
averaging there? 115 points so far this season, has not dropped below a ton. His worst score was in round one against the Tigers, where he put up 101. What has got into this man? His career high before this season was 95, and he's approaching 30 years old. Is this the Jack Sinclair special?
Well, mate,
you know, the 10th year breakout?
Yeah, who knew who it? Yeah. I couldn't get the N and the
confident
H.
Enough,
the, no, it's the N and the H. So you try saying an N and a H at the same time.
Hewitt.
Oh, you did better than me.
Yeah, confidence. Just go for
sorry.
It. But yeah, I mean, you're not paying 110, which is what he's priced at now, but
I might.
If you fucking started with him, brag as much as you want, because that's been a ripper pick. Flog for this one. You've changed this late. This is a late change on the run sheet.
Yeah,
here.
Well, you know me, obviously cleansed of all social media, like the Dalai Lama. And so I missed that my boy Adam Chera has gone and just given someone a little bit of sweet chin music on the weekend. But I have, let me say, I've assessed the replay here.
It's pretty soft.
This kind of, let's call it act, happens 1,000 times at midfield stoppages. And I'm not sure who the player is there that he's...
Jack Bowes.
I think maybe there's a little bit of mayo on the reaction. Maybe he got
a massive amount of
maybe
mayo.
Maybe he got him on the hairs on
he
his chinny
chin. He wasn't
subbed
out or anything, was he? Like, there's no, like...
But of course, I can't comment. I've got a conflict of interest as a Chera owner. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Have Carlton already said that they'll challenge it?
I'm not sure. It's still pretty fresh off the news.
I might have a word to Vossi and just
Can I also give it a bonus flog to this one?
Yes.
Max Holmes fucking sucked.
Oh.
He was horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? 65? I don't think he was even being tagged.
I think he's got the runs that Tom Stewart had a couple of weeks ago.
2 marks? What is that? Geelong as a whole were horrible. But Sean Manor had a go. Bailey Smith had a go. He was up with the big boys. These guys spread for marks and got their tackles in. Max Holmes, I was down in the dumps. My team's sucking again. I thought, okay, look, if Max Holmes can at least bring it home strong here, he's a bit of a pod for me. And then he just goes and takes a dump on my field. And 65. It's just keeps on giving.
Takes it down. Hawthorn and West Coast was... See, this is the exact kind of game that you want last in the round. I don't want to watch the late Sunday game. I want to get ready for work mentally, physically. And this was perfect because this game had nothing for me.
There was really no fantasy relevance,
there? Some people have, of course, Ryan Marich. He went all right. If 75 from 25 touches, you'd probably expect more from a halfback. The real news probably out of this one is Carl Amon was looking like a guy that was going to feast on Hawthorn's easy run, but not only did he miss the last quarter from a scoring perspective, but it now I think he had a HIA assessment as well, which is not good. So I'll give the flog to injuries. Nobody gets the bog. I'm not giving it to Meeky, sorry.
Yeah, no one's got Meeky. I mean, great for your draft team, but yeah, probably not a fantasy classic option. Let's dive into some strategy chat and some of the flogs or byproducts of flogs. There is a couple of players that let's assume Adam Chera is suspended for a game.
Yes.
Oh, I think there is a chance they do challenge it, but let's assume they are. Mm. What do we do with these types of players who, and again, it's a suspension and it's a concussion. So it's not like it's a hamstring and they're saying it's a week or a calf and they're going, oh yeah, he's 1 to 2 weeks. We're pretty certain that these players are going to miss just the 1 week. Are we trading them, holding them? And what if you had both of these players? Does that change your decision? What are your initial thoughts with these two players here, Luke?
If you have both of them, it's very tough, you know, when people are obviously adding premiums to their team every week to, I think, hold two premiums through that. If I was going to move one of them, I had to, I think it would be Adam Chera, especially if you've owned him all season. I'm going to say, like, he's done his job to an extent. He's made a bit of cash for you. He's scored in line with the premiums. Maybe now's the time to get him to a big dog. At least with Carl Amon, if he misses a week, he's still got the back end of that really good run to come. And it's likely that you've only just traded Amon in.
Yeah.
That all depends on what you have to do in both lines as well. Obviously, we're talking defenders and midfielders here. The thing I want to talk about is what we get to have a look at this week before we potentially have to lock in a decision.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah. A bit of Lupe fiasco.
Correct. You know I love Lupe. The show goes on. I think he sung that.
No, that's good.
It was good. That was a good reference. Yeah, you want to sing a few bars for me?
No. I thought about it, but no.
Because I'm going to use Camporeale as an example. I obviously have him as a red dot.
Carlton, very familiar with Carlton's schedule.
Yes. Oh, we're all over it like a rash on a hookup. But they don't play until the fourth game of the week. So you're going to have a look at North Melbourne, Essendon, St Kilda, Fremantle, Bulldogs, and Port Adelaide rookies. So I'm thinking Moraes, I'm thinking Davidson, I'm thinking Murphy Reid from Fremantle, Max Hall from the Saints, Garcia will definitely be there this week. I don't even know if you want to have a look at Finn O'Sullivan.
I mean, I'm expecting a Hugh Boxall to maybe put his name in the hat here and maybe get a game. So he could be a downgrade and you might get a look at him.
So in a classic turn of events here, we actually seem to have a few rookie names that play before
kissed, I tell you.
Potential red dot loops.
So even when you get injuries, you kissed.
I've gone on a huge tangent here, but the reason is I think that's going to influence what I do if, let's say, if a Chera is suspended, because if I can jag, you know, a decent rookie score, a 70 or something, maybe I just go, hey, let's keep upgrading.
I would usually say if you've got a premium that you're happy with and there's not an issue to trade them out, that I am happy to hold them for a week. The logic here is that obviously you're doing an upgrade anyway. So I'm just going to pull numbers out of my ass here. But let's say you've got 17 premiums and this week you're going to upgrade someone to get an 18th premium into your side. Okay, cool. You've now got 18 premiums, four rookies. Had you sideways Adam Chera, you're going from a premium to premium, you're still left with... Sorry, you've got 17 premiums because Chera's on the bench. You sideways Chera, you still have 17 premiums because you've just sideways. So the same amount of premiums is there this week, but then next week when Adam Chera comes back, you go to 18 premiums, and then you're getting another upgrade, you go to 19 premiums. So the week after, you go into 19 premiums, as opposed to the week after, going to 18 premiums. This week, regardless if you upgrade or not, you're probably going to be stuck with 17 premiums on field. So it's going to hurt this week, but you're gonna be in a better spot next week if you hold them and trade them. I think the maybe other issue is here is maybe if you're short on cash and you don't have an upgrade you can get to, and the fact that Amon and Chera are not like top six players. Like they're not top eight players in the midfield, top six in defense. So maybe this is your ticket to one of those Uber premiums because they do have some more money on their head. So last year I did trade out a Matt Crouch this time. It was about this time last year who was in a very similar spot to Adam Chera because I wanted to get in a Sam Walsh who was going nuts at the time. So and I think that proved to be a decent move. Although Crouch did come back in and kept kind of doing his thing. So it depends on what else I could have done, but I don't think I could have afforded Walsh in that scenario last year. So yeah. I had to move on Crouch. What are your thoughts on that sort of train of thought and that logic there?
Yeah, like I said, I'm very keen to see what my rookie options do, because just looking at my team here, like Reed, Marais, I don't think the Sydney guys play.
No, I think they're a bit late.
They are a little bit later. But I'm going to get a fair look at a few rookies. But I'm probably leaning towards your way of thinking by way of making sure that I get back on level peggings with everyone 2 weeks from now by maybe taking a little hit.
And you won't be alone. Like Adam Chera is very highly owned in the top 1,000, top 10,000. So you're not going to be taking a huge hit from like the masses on this one if he is to miss a week. And you know, a lot of people are going to be in the same boat, and it might just be the smart play to, for everyone who maybe does trade him out, you know, you might actually get a leg up on those people next week, and in a roundabout way might be a better way to go about it. And plus you've got like someone like a Sanders sitting there who's got a fair bit of money on his head. So it's not that difficult for you to get a player like that to, you know, the same player that you would trade a Chera to anyway. I think that maybe the different spot might be is if you've got like, maybe you cash out a few of your rookies, you know, the Davidsons and those sort of types. And now you're trying to get, I don't know, a Zach Reed up to a Harry Sheezel or something like that. Like that is a difficult trade to make. Or maybe you're trying to upgrade a Christian Moraes to a premium and you're shopping in areas where you don't really feel comfortable. Then that might be a scenario where I might entertain doing a Chera instead.
I think well summarized. What about players that are nursing injuries? So obviously the Iceberg has just been a shell of himself since he got injured a couple of weeks back. And then even a Tom Stewart, I think, did play out the game on the weekend.
Yeah, but he's hobbled, man. And I think I've been wrong on Tom Stewart. I'm not sure he's going to return back to what we expect him to be. I think there's a few other players that have maybe stepped up. I think he'd be better than this, but the question is, do you trade these guys out as a matter of urgency ahead of rookies? I think for a couple of them, you definitely can. I think the issue is you contrast these guys to someone like a Tristan Sherry, who was carrying an injury, putting up 70s, and then all of a sudden, 1 week it turns around. I think the difference here with some of these players is they're not top six. They're not best in the line anyway. So I don't think you need to have the same level of patience for these players than you do for someone like a Tristan Sherry, who's, you know, just in a league of his own when he's 100%, even though obviously he was giving you poor scores and plummeting in cash. I don't think the turnaround's going to be as sharp with these players.
No, and the trouble with a guy like Tom Stewart as well, he's still got a reasonably high break even, but two of his next three matchups are Port Adelaide and GWS, which we know are just not friendly matchups just generally in fantasy as well. So it's not like you're kind of thinking, okay, well, if he's going to turn it around, the next 3 weeks is just a great opportunity for him. It's tough, but there's so much cash is just falling away from him that you're not.
It's been horrible luck.
Yeah, it has been horrific. But I guess you just kind of treat him as one of those like uber fattened rookies now, or fattened mid prices that you're just trying to get up from.
Hopefully. Like I've been sort of keep an eye on him as a trade-in target. And I think I'm even falling off that, despite him getting even cheaper. I think I've definitely scaled my projection of him right back. I know the injuries have been a big part, but I also think a player like Lawson Humphreys is stepped up, and they're just maybe not as Tom Stewart-centric as they have been in years gone past.
He's so cheap now that if we do see some sort of drastic turnaround where we see just like, I was going to say the role comeback. It's not like he's drastically different role, but if we just see something that we can't ignore and he turns around.
It could be like a buy round play kind
of
thing.
And because he's so cheap, it's not like, you still could potentially get him at value, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but if we get close to the buys and like we want to get him in just as a secure player in there to like carry us through the buy rounds, and I think that could definitely be a play. When do, I think they've got a late buy, don't they? Yeah, they've got the round 16. So, the very last one. So, that could definitely be one to keep an eye on close to that. But I don't think I'd be looking to trade him in within the next 2 to 3 weeks. I wouldn't have thought. I'd want to see a dramatic turnaround first.
You mentioned buy rounds there, and they're creeping up.
Yeah, getting closer.
So,
where are we heading into round 8?
I don't necessarily.
8, 9, 10, 11, 4 rounds.
Yeah.
And then the buys are upon us.
It's an interesting discussion because you don't necessarily want to screw your team and screw your trade-in targets to necessarily fit a buy structure, but there does come a point where you need to just make sure that you're not kind of like overweight in certain areas. You want a reasonably even distribution coming into the buys.
What did you say about my weight?
Sorry,
I'm not allowed to talk about that anymore. The AFL's not about talking about weight.
Since your ranks dropped, your weight's gone up.
I'm binge eating it to cover up all my sadness. You definitely need to be taking into consideration your buy rounds. The good news is, I think this year is going to be the easiest it's been ever, really, because there's 5 different buy rounds. So almost without even trying, a lot of us will have a pretty spread out buy round as it is. My philosophy has always just been to have as even a spread as I possibly can. I personally don't weight any buy round higher than another. I know some people will prefer to get in guys with the later buy rounds and stack up with the late first and go shallow on the early ones. I think it all evens out anyway. So if there's a target that's round 12 and they're at a good price and you don't have like an absolutely loaded line on round 12s, then go ahead and get that player. Like that's where people maybe will miss out on that if they have that mentality. But yeah, I think you're just trying to keep each line as even as you possibly can. I'm because there's 5 different buy rounds, I think a good rule of thumb is no more than 2 premiums on the one buy per line. In the forward line, we might have, Petrarca and Rankin are both around 15s, like Caleb Daniel and Horn Francis are both round 12, so I probably wouldn't want to add to that, but that's about it. I think it's not too difficult this year.
One positional thing, TDK, English, Sherry, all round 12 buys, yes. So there'll be people that have combinations. Is that just one of those ones? It's a bit tough, but you're just not having a ruck in that round?
This kind of almost leads into the next thing, is like the rucks. Like all of our rucks went well this weekend.
Yeah.
I know that there was some sliding doors moments. Maybe some people went, a TDK to a Sherry or a Gorn on the weekend. And
the early
on the weekend, it looks like it was a good move, but maybe a bit of opportunity cost gone missing. But I think eventually we're all going to want Sherry. I'm also watching Roel Marshall because he's getting cheap too. I mean, I'm going to put Sherry as number one. Is Gorn the clear two or...
As it stands, it's hard to sort of make any judgments not based on the information that we have at hand, and Gorn's been killing it recently. It's
Gorn
TDK
is the second highest averaging.
Although I was rapt with how TDK came out on the weekend and kind of saved us in the ruck line, it still just had that feeling of like, oh, this could be a little flash in the pan. Could we be back to 70s, 80s next week?
Because of a tough matchup next week.
Whereas the way that we felt about Big Gorney on, was it Thursday night, was just that guy just could not be stopped. So I feel like I'd be happier if I was a Gorn owner than a TDK owner at the moment. But like you said, it's the opportunity pulling that trade.
I don't think it's urgent enough for us to be trading our rucks if you have any of those 4 ruckmen.
Yeah.
Tom Nicone, Tim English, Tristan Sherry, Max Gorn, I think they're all absolutely fine to have. If you've got someone like Kieran Briggs, apologies. I don't know what you would do with that. Maybe you can maybe look at someone like a Rowan Marshall as a cheap alternative, and look to get some value there. But I am watching Rowan Marshall, who has the round 13 bye, as a bit of a differentiator there as well. But again, I'd probably be prioritizing getting my rookies off the field. So speaking about getting players off,
which is one of your preferred things.
Yeah, love to do it. Let's chop some players from our side, and I have a big, big chopping knife for this first guy. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Hugo Sia! Hugo!
Okay.
Hugo Garcia is out of here! Get him out of my side! Oh, he's not coming back, is he? When the coach chews you out on the sideline like that, pulls you in the second quarter.
That was a proper chewing out, too. Man. That was.
I feel bad for the guy.
A bit of...
Like, he barely had a chance, to be fair. And he's been playing well. I don't know.
Well, playing well is tough because, like, the way we deem someone to be playing well is scoring decent for our fantasy points.
I don't see a difference. There is no difference.
Well, Ross clearly has a difference of opinion. Yeah, I think the other thing too...
He had 10 tackles the week before.
...is that there's somebody that's playing his position in the VFL that has been knocking the door down.
There's also another guy who is coming back from injury in maybe the Pusis.
Yes, so I think Garcia might be in a bit of strife.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of trouble. So he's got to go. His break-even's soared right up. That 20 is, 76 break-even. He is out of here. So he is the number one trade-out player. Couple other rookies. I mean, this segment really could just be rookies, but I wanted to just highlight some that I think I'm absolutely fine trading out in Sam Davidson, Levi Ashcroft. Two players that you've traded out in the last couple of weeks. And you were saying to me that, you know, it just goes to show that, like, sometimes you can go early on some of these guys because, you know, like, they've made a little bit of cash since then, but it's allowed you to get the players that you wanted. And now, 2 weeks later, everyone else has traded them out.
Yeah, of course. It's easy to say after 1 week, you know, Levi Ashcroft could come out and go back-to-back tons. He's that kind of rookie. But, yeah, like you say, if I've traded him out and I've bought in a Petrarca and Petrarca's scoring in line with him, well, I've now got a guy that I plan to keep and I'm upgrading the rest of my team there. So,
I dare say since you traded out Davidson to Dacos, I think Dacos has made more cash than Davidson has.
Yeah, it could well be. So, I don't think it's impacted me too much. Like, I don't think my bench is now too light on. I think I'll still be able to keep that cadence going, like as you say. So, I think that it's... Yeah, don't fall in love with these guys. If it's what gets you to the guy that you want to bring in, then that's a winning play, I reckon.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things in the blueprint that I think has still stood up so far this year, and hopefully a lot of the people listening are getting the fruits of those decisions. Some other players that can go, Riley Sanders, time to go. You've been kissed long enough. He's got his 130 and... You know, he's averaging 90 in his last 2 weeks. But listen,
Riley Sanders was always, like, the only reason I think a lot of coaches obviously ended up keeping him is he's 130 against the Saints. But, like, had he done a 70 or an 80, he's coming into a GWS Port Adelaide 2-game run. We probably would have looked to trade him last week, to be fair. So I think
he still went up 17K. Yeah, which is 800.
No problems. But from this point, I wouldn't expect him to go up much more. So he's in prime chopping territory.
Well, I can't believe you got a 130 from him. That is ridiculous.
Just good coaching, mate.
But yeah, he's got to go. And then I've got, like, players like Christian Moraes and, you know, Pryor could also be there. He's 536K, so he can definitely go. I'd even be happy to get rid of a Zach Reed.
Sam Lawler. Add Lawler into that.
Lawler,
category.
He could go. Like, all these guys can go now. Basically, what I'm just saying is get the worst rookie you can out to get your best upgrade target. So I'd be prioritizing the players coming in. So if there's a must-have rookie that comes in, you get him, see what money you can afford with the most expensive rookies or with the cheaper rookies. Or if there's a player that's high on your targets you want to get in, basically the worst rookie you can trade out to get those targets in, I think is the way I would be playing it. Again, still the only rookie that I am not trading out is Riley Bice. He is just, he's not a rookie really. He's friggin' 24 years old with a mustache that rivals anyone's, and he's averaging 30, you know, his break even's 31, averaging 80. He still has a lot of money to make. So he's the only one I wouldn't be touching for any trade.
He's made money so quickly too. What, he's 650K.
Yeah, skyrocketing.
Easily the most expensive rookie money. What's Ashcroft?
658. He's 5K behind him.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, and he's done it in what, like 4 weeks?
It's insane.
Half the time. So yeah, that's pretty crazy. But I think the more interesting discussions will be who are we trading in, because I think the last few weeks we've had some more, I don't want to call them obvious, but I guess more, like everyone's been aligned in their thinking. You know, Petrarca was the number one guy last week. The number one guy the week before was Nick Daigos. I think this week, the number one trade in will be, like, there won't be a big gap between the top two or three upgrade targets. I think this is where we're going to see the biggest divergence in ownership when it comes to our premiums. Yeah. Because I don't see someone as obvious this week around that isn't one of those two guys last week that if you maybe missed the boat, you're jumping on there. But so I'm going to go through line by line because I think we're going to start to break these down. So maybe some of our DPP is a little bit less there. Let's start in the defense. And I want to get your thoughts as an owner on Harry Sheezel, because he is down a little bit. He's not necessarily what I would call cheap, but he's cheap for what he could do. He is priced now at 105. And the thing that really perked my ears up, or my eyes as I was watching him, was the fact that he played.
Perky eyes.
He had no CBAs last game. And played pretty much exclusively off halfback, had four kick-ins, split it basically with Caleb Daniel. He versed Port Adelaide, which is a tough matchup, scored a 95. He hasn't dropped below 90 so far this season. There was a little bit of a concern that going into the game, he had like a hip complaint at training, but they kind of gave him a little rub and he got back out there and he was fine. Still played 92% time on ground. So I'm not sure if it's anything to be too worried about. What are your thoughts on Sheezel? Is he getting cheap?
Yeah, as an owner, it's been a little disappointing. I mean, what you pay for the guy to start the season, I haven't put the VC or the C on him once. And
yeah, I mean,
and
he is averaging 102.
Yeah, so it's not...
not as awesome, but it's not what you paid for.
Exactly. And especially to think, what would have been the difference between he and Whitfield at the start of the year?
Well, Whitfield would have been cheaper.
Well, Whitfield was cheaper.
Yeah, he was 108 to 112, I think. Or 110 to 112. Yeah,
imagine that sliding doors moment. You pick him instead. So, I think that your logic, I think, is pretty sound here, especially like you said, he's playing in a role that we know is super friendly. And if you are looking for the sugar hit, as the Statesman always says, then this week might be the one, because Essendon are top three in marks conceded, averaging over 100 marks a game.
His run for the next four up to his bye is actually really nice. Essendon, Brisbane, Richmond, and then Collingwood. It's a decent run.
Yeah.
I was searching him up, and I wasn't watching him closely during this game. Maybe I need to go back and rewatch, but I saw some comments from, I think, a lot of people that play Supercoach may be disappointed in his score, so I'm not sure maybe his play has been as good as maybe his fantasy score has been. His impact hasn't been as good, which, you know, lends itself to maybe potential future volatility and role. We've obviously already seen him switch roles a couple times. You know, does someone like Zach Fisher ever come back into the side and move him around? Obviously, Wardlaw coming back in might have instigated the move to halfback this week. So there's a few moving pieces there, but I still maintain that Harry Sheezel is obviously the best player on their team. I don't think that's changed. But after a good start, North are struggling right now. Now, they've had a few tougher matchups, I will say that, and they've got a couple of easier ones coming up in Essendon and Richmond, but I don't think it's without risk. He's still priced at 105, more than he's averaging.
Josh Dacos is another defender that we mentioned off the top. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he hadn't cracked 100 until this week, and he went bang. I mean, to do it, he needed, 36 touches, which is pretty impressive. Josh Dacos is a little bit different, I think, to a lot of the other halfbacks that we look at. Like, a lot of the halfbacks have a kick-to-handball ratio that's a lot higher than his. He doesn't mind hand passing it, but he does get a lot of touches, and the difference between what he's done previously and his score on the weekend was simply the marks. So he had 9 marks, and the highest he'd had prior to that was 5. like I said, Essendon is a high marks conceded team, but in the games up until his bye, Josh Dacos does go up against Fremantle, Geelong, and later down the track, Melbourne, who do concede on the upper end of marks. So I think there's some good games for him there. And
even halfbacks against Adelaide have actually been scoring really well recently as well. And then North and Hawthorn, orange matchups, but no red matchups. And he's already had a few of those as well. So, yeah, he's a guy that I think, like, he's averaged 95 as a winger before.
Yeah.
So and he's priced at 92. He's priced at 92 or just a shade over 92. So I think there's a little bit of meat on the bone regardless with, I think, a potential upside. Like, there's a world, if you say from this point that Josh Dacos averages 100 points, I would not be surprised. I think it's a bullish, like, projection, but I don't think it's an outrageous one.
Here's another thing to consider with Josh Dacos as well is, okay, so, you know, outside of 2 weeks ago where, you know, all shit hit the fan, We've been enjoying fielding Bice, Reed, Trainer in our defense in terms of having to field rookies down there. So if one of the rookies that you're wanting to chop is a midfield rookie, let's call it a Lawler, let's call it a Moraes, let's call it a Sanders or whatever, and you end up trading in Josh Dacos in a midfield position at the moment because you think he's, you know, 7 to 10 points unders in that role.
Yeah.
That's not the worst thing in the world because as the rounds play out, you are going to want to move off Bice and Reed and you can turn them into midfielders when it's their time to go and then you can just flip Josh Dacos back there as well. So
I think it's something I'm definitely looking at this week.
Would you say there's some merit to the play?
No, he plays for Essendon. I think having that game plan is good because also some of us might have like a Hasty there that we can use to loop some options in our back line, and then you might still have another rookie on your midfield that you can loop with a Camporeale and those kind of things. So basically, depending on which rookies you're more confident in, will dictate what position you may be trading these guys to.
About some midfield options for us, so trade targets.
There's a couple options here that are cheap, but I don't know if they've shown enough yet. A lot of options which are good, but sort of priced where I think they should be. So the midfield's a bit trickier, I think, than the other two positions. So I want to get your thoughts on Noah Anderson, who has been very solid up until this last game where he did get tagged. I think he copped the James Jordan tag in this game. So scored a 70. His lowest score prior to that, I think, was in the 90s. Now, his price has already moved, and he's got a high break-even. His break-even is 132. So you definitely could wait a week, but he is now priced at 103, I want to say. And prior to this game, he was going beyond that. What are your thoughts on Noah Anderson as a bit of a pick?
Yeah, it's not one that I think I'm going to go there, but I will just say that the run coming up is looking a little bit friendly coming into his bye. So outside of Hawthorn, Western Bulldogs, St Kilda, Fremantle and Geelong are all in the upper end of marks conceded. And Noah Anderson's one of those midfielders like an Andy Brayshaw, but when the mark numbers are up, often that like brings the ceiling with it as well. So I think there's some like potential positivity there. The only thing that makes me a little bit nervous is like we haven't exactly seen what we were expecting to see from him this season in terms of...
We haven't seen a ceiling score.
Yeah. And we were expecting with Gold Coast's improvement, we were expecting like beast mode Noah Anderson, I would have thought.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of... Like, he's averaged 106 points up until that last game, which now drags his average down to 101. But that was obviously the tag game. I think that he is going to move himself into a very firm top eight midfielder now. If you had to put a number on his average for the rest of the season, where do you think he would average?
I think it's going to be more than what he's currently averaging. So I think there's upside there. What you said he's averaging or he was averaging.
Yeah, I think he could push like a 108, 110 this year.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad shout. I mentioned that the teams he's coming up against leading into the bye concede marks, but the other thing that they concede too are tackles.
He's been tackling more, averaging four so far this year.
And so if you read to me his games coming into his bye. Have you got his matchups there leading into his bye? Yeah.
So he's got Brisbane, Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn.
Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn, both high in tackles conceded.
St Kilda.
St Kilda.
Frio, and Geelong.
Geelong. All of those are in the top 10 tackles conceded teams. So he literally plays like 80% of the top tackles conceded. But also then there's a few teams in there that concede marks as well as tackles, which I think is interesting.
That's positive. Yeah, definitely someone I'm keeping an eye on. I think, like you said, I could wait a week. Like Brisbane's not an easy matchup. The Q clash, the most exciting Q clash in the history, they're calling it. I think he could put up a solid 100 there and maybe just get a little bit cheaper, maybe drops below that $1 million. But I do think he is a type of player that I reckon if you were to go a bit unique, he is someone that I'd be happy to maybe go a week early on. So I do think he has taken his game to a next level, and a few other midfielders around him I think have taken a step back. A couple of guys who are cheaper that there's no denying that they're cheap, but I do wonder if this is like catching a falling knife. Isaac Heaney and Jack Steele, both in the low 900s. Heaney has actually dropped below 900,000, is 898,000. So he is about that Christian Petrarca level that he was last week. So around that 90 price tag. And Jack Steele is 932. So he's at about 93 price stat figure. Either of these two do enough for you in terms of, like, I don't want to say legacy because Heaney's done it for one season, but we know he's a good player.
Yeah, we do. I mean, the Heaney doing it for only one season probably works against him, because then you start to build a case that maybe last season was a flash in the pan. The thing with Jack Steele too is that not only has he been poor, but we're starting to talk about, okay, well, you know, Philippou's looking like he's waiting in the wings. Like, is that really going to help the case that you're making for Jack Steele? I don't particularly think so. We know these guys have pedigree, but like you say, sometimes, and Tom Stewart's a case of this as well, you kind of want to see at least a week of it, if not 2 weeks, where you go, okay, that's Jack Steele or that's Isaac Heaney.
I also think that Jack Steele might still be not 100%. Like the first couple of games, like he had that 77 where they got belted by Adelaide, and then he had the 114 against Geelong, and you go, okay, cool, that's a game that Jack Steele, and then he missed the 2 weeks with that knee injury. He was that late out. And then he's come back and his time on ground is 73%, 65% the week before against the Bulldogs, that's then gross. 80%. So there's a chance that he's still maybe not 100%. So he is a guy that it can turn around quickly though. You know, like a Tristan Sherry, like I'll be definitely keeping an eye on a Jack Steele. He's not a this week play for me.
What have his tackles been like?
Like he had that 13 tackle game against Geelong, 6 against 5, 4, 6. Like that's low for him. Like he's normally 7, 8. Yeah.
Yeah. And the when he's scoring well, the marks are there too. Yeah, a little bit.
0 against Brisbane. It's not going to cut it, is it? 29 touches, but yeah, 0 marks. High of 80% time on ground, I think, is probably the most alarming stat for him. So I would want to see that TOG come up as well as the scoring first. I think Heaney, I'm the more bullish on turning it around immediately. However, it's probably not this week against the Giants. Although, they're probably tagging Chad Warner first, right?
It doesn't matter. Heaney hasn't been tagged, you know, as much this year at all, I don't think. And it's,
he looked like he was back in that first half, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. But are you going to trade him in off a half a footy against the Giants?
After this week, their run is very nice. Essendon, Carlton, Melbourne, Adelaide, Richmond. It's a nice stretch of games. So, again, maybe one not for this week, but definitely I could be ready to jump on him as early as the week after against Essendon, because I think attention is going to go more to Chad's way. And he's playing the same role. He's doing the exact same role. And I think how good Heaney looked last year, that doesn't just go away, in my opinion.
Sydney, I think, have got some things going on.
They're not the same Sydney.
No, don't underestimate that too.
But he's priced at 90. And if he goes poor again, he'll be priced at like 86.
Yeah, it's getting too cheap to ignore. While we're talking Sydney, let's start talking forwards, and we'll talk his teammate, Chad Warner, because this guy, I think, given that we've now seen a week and his break-even is now more achievable, the fact that we can pick him up as a forward is pretty special as well. I do see him as like more impact over scoring, a bit like Horn Francis, but you think he might be too cheap to ignore?
Yeah, well, last two seasons, he's basically gone 93 back-to-back years. He's priced at 85 now. Yeah, or 86. So He's got seven points under.
He's got his money, man. He's cruising.
He's happy. The thing that I would put a flag on is I would bet any money gets tagged this week. So this is the thing. Do you trade him in? Is this the Nick Dacos thing where we all get spooked by the tag and don't trade him in. He goes big and his price comes up. Because like, I think, like I said with Heaney, after this week, it's a really great run. So
he's not Nick Dacos. I think that the logic was there with Dacos. People who traded him in, no problems. You got the score. But I don't think Chad Warner. If Chad Warner gets Toby Bedford tagged, he's not scoring. Oh, I mean, 85. Okay, his break-even's lower. But he's not scoring much more than a ton. And I don't think that that's a huge difference.
Yeah. So I think you could go this week if you maybe have another target next week and you want to make sure you maybe get both of those players. So you could go Chad Warner this week. To me, he's a next week play just because I'm fearful of that tag coming from Bedford this week. But definitely is cheap. Is it too late for Christian Petrarca? He was our number one target last week, but he's now moved up to a priced at figure of 93. Where do you think he can go from here?
I think that given that he's back in the role that we like, I think it's certainly positive. I don't think we're going to like see him slip back into the kind of 70s, 80s realm consistently like he did to start the year. West Coast Eagles this week, so you would anticipate that whether he plays a little bit of time forward midfield, you'd anticipate it being a good matchup. Yep. But then he goes Hawthorn, Brisbane, Sydney, which is not fantastic. But I think in the role and the fact that Melbourne are playing for everything at this point in the season.
Yeah.
It's not like they're coasting. It's not like they can rest guys. It's not like they're in a luxurious position. I think that he's going to still hopefully have a really high floor for us over those weeks. But it does feel a little bit sucky to be trading him in now after he's just gone Essendon, Frio, Richmond.
Yeah.
And you're potentially only going to get the one game against the Eagles. We've seen funny things happen against the Eagles this year too.
We have. Yeah, they've... Sometimes they promise so much, but then we just don't see those big scores.
Yeah,
sometimes it's like everyone gets a little bit, rather than like one player getting a lot.
So I have the theory sometimes that some of the like those really bad teams, it's actually the like lesser players that fill up a little bit more than perhaps the big dogs because they just kind of get out there. Hey, we've got the game. I'm cruising a little bit. I'll let the Jake Bowies. I'll let the Lloyd Meeks. I'll let the lesser
little,
names.
Little drive by. That was Jake a drive Bauer. By.
Cop that, Jake. Gotcha.
Yeah, but no, I do see that, and then maybe just some of the thirsty gangsters out there that just love a stat. And I'm not sure Christian Petrarca falls into that category, but I think if you didn't have Petrarca, I still think you can get him. I think it needs to be this week though. You've got to get at least a little piece of that run. And I do still think he's probably going to be a top six forward. I still think there's a bit of value there. I think there's a world where he averages 100 for the year and price at 93. That's still a good trade target. The last forward I want to mention here is Dylan Moore.
Do you really want more? Scream it out loud. I threw to you there.
I thought you were going Britney Spears. What's that other
what?
One? The Britney Spears?
No.
Give me more. Oh, give me more.
Give me more.
But yeah, he... Did, how much CBA time did he have on the weekend? I'm just going to look that up right now. But
less.
Not more, less. Because he scored okay.
I think he had like 4 CBAs, maybe 8 CBAs.
24%.
Okay.
Yeah, still not enough. But again, he's got another nice matchup as the Hawks have done. But
they don't want to play him in the middle, which is completely understandable. He's probably one of the best half forwards in the game. You bring in Hustwaite to fill that Nash role.
His price is 75. Dylan Moore price at 75.
Yeah, so your kind of argument is that if he just gets back to his best forward scoring, he still could be 15, 20 points unders.
It's tough because he has put up some dirty scores.
We have some good forward options
in that last role. Like he put up a 48 just a week ago. Yep. He's averaging 72. I just cannot see a world where he continues to average below 80 for this season. So I think you've got a little bit of safety there, but... There is also a world that he's now a step behind that top six because his role is volatile. He has done it in years gone past, but things just might not be falling his way this year in that role, which is hard to sustain. So I think he is cheap, but I think, I think I'd want to see more.
Sometimes the simple ones are the best. It's tough because he comes into Richmond and then Melbourne in two consecutive weeks. But by that logic, I mean, he just dropped a stinker against West Coast.
It wasn't a stinker against 85. He didn't kick a goal. Oh, no, he kicked one goal.
But when you have a player matchup against West Coast, that's a stinker because your expectation is sugar.
Yeah, like if that's the ceiling, then the average is maybe 10 points less than that, which is basically where he's priced at.
With new DPPs, we have forward options that I think currently give us more promise potentially.
I want to throw some other names that obviously I haven't mentioned there.
Please do, Mitch. Throw it away.
Just tell me some players that tickle your fancy. I'll run through some midfield options. Tom Green, Nick Dacos, Zach Butters, Jordan Dawson.
Zach Butters always tickles my fancy.
So Zach Butters is someone who is now priced at 108. He's come in and he's just gone bang straight away.
How good is Zach Butters?
3 tons in his 4 games.
Love that guy.
Looking really, really nice.
He's got the Dogs, Geelong and Fremantle, and then the fourth game in that 4-game stretch to his bye is a showdown, which is like Zach Butters territory. Like, let's go.
So of those players, Nick Dacos is the most expensive.
Yeah, wow.
I think Dawson and Dacos are the same price now. I just want to double check that because, so Dawson is now the same price. Priced at 109.
This is exactly why you play the value game, isn't it?
Dacos is more expensive.
So if the week that you went to Dacos, or that a lot of us went to Dacos, you instead thought, I'll go Jordan Dawson, you know, it's a safe option. That's the very reason why you try to pick those undervalued premiums.
Yeah, but on the flip side, like Jordan Dawson is slowly getting cheaper. So if you got Dawson the same price as Brayshaw is, cheaper than Dacos, basically the same price as Zach Butters, are you going Dawson ahead of those kind of players?
I'd love to have Jordan Dawson in my side.
He, to me, is a clear top 3 or 4 mid.
100 in 3/4 is great for a player that you then look to trade in because you've just seen exactly what you want, and then the 4th quarter is just an out-of-the-box. That's not happening. Like,
there's a Will Ricey, him coming up against Carlton. He could go massive. Monstrous. That is the perfect type of game for him.
Yeah, showdown, then into Collingwood, West Coast.
Couple of tags maybe in there. Sydney, I think, will definitely send Rowbottom to him.
I think there's...
By round 14, Hawthorn should have Nash back.
Oh, imagine if I turned Riley Sanders into Jordan Dawson. Oh,
lick your lips.
Yes.
Or he's still cheap and he put up a disappointing score. I keep saying Tom Green every week. He hasn't...
This is just... He hasn't done it yet.
He's cheaper than he was last week. Priced at 103.6. You're saving 60K. On a Tom Green compared to a Dawson, is that enough savings for a player like that? Saving 70K from Nick Dacos?
I've never really loved Tom Green, so maybe my opinion's a little bit jaded, but even that year that he went well, I was more of a Green naysayer.
He's got Sydney, so he's probably going to get Rowbottom next to him.
Yeah, I'm not
gonna, or does he go to Callaghan?
I'm not going
to
endorse Tom Green this week.
Yeah, so I think that the midfield options to me are a little tougher. You can't go Caleb Sarong.
Well, Sarong...
958,000. Fuck, he's been bad. And the problem is I think if you'd ask the coach, I think he'd say he's liked what he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, 32 touches, I'd imagine he was doing Caleb Sarong things. So he's got St Kilda. Let's have a look. Last 2 weeks, midfielders against St Kilda. So listen to some of these scores, yeah? So Lachie Neal, 128. Dane Zorko's just, you know, an uncontested smart beast, 124. Zach Bailey's playing that high half forward role, 120. Luggage, 113. Dunkley, 113. Will Ashcroft, 108.
So is Windhagen not tagging anymore?
Darcy Wilmot, 108. Not that I saw on the weekend. And then let's go back 2 weeks because remember, I watched the Bulldogs play the Saints. Okay, and have a listen to these scores. Riley Sanders, 130. Marcus Bontempelli, 119. Libba, 114. And then you've got Kennedy's gone 109. Bailey Dale's gone 112. So this
he
is
can't
who,
not turn up. He well, can't not get 110.
That's the dirtiest Moz you've ever seen.
No, he's gonna get tagged within an inch of his life. You know, because he's in my team. The last 2 weeks, players have just gone absolutely scot-free, and Riley Sanders has gone 130. So Caleb Sarong, he's obviously going to get a 70 here.
Hey, look, that's...
He's obviously 60 points worse than Riley Sanders.
I thought St Kilda couldn't be... And St Kilda weren't as bad this week, but I thought they couldn't be as bad fantasy-wise 2 weeks consecutively. And they showed, like, those scores I just read out, those are insane numbers for full teams of midfielders. You'd think they're going to do something different this week, but if they don't, then Brayshaw, Sarong, it could be party time.
Yeah, I don't feel confident in recommending Sarong because of how he's getting to his scores and it being a good game with a bad score, that just doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence. I'd expect more tackles from the man. But, So the midfielders, I think, are a bit tough this week. And that's why, like, a Noah Anderson, despite him being still priced at 103, like, would you go Noah Anderson ahead of a Tom Green? Like, they're basically priced at the same spot.
Yeah, even though I burnt by Anderson a couple of years ago, I still like Anderson more than I do Green.
Yeah, so he's maybe the guy that is a bit of a unique pick. I'd probably be looking in the midfield. But the defenders, I think, in like a Josh Dacos, a Harry Sheasel, or your forwards, if you miss Petrarca, or going a Chad Warner, are decent options. But like I said off the top, I think there's going to be lots and lots of diverging trades this week. It's not going to be as ubiquitous. Did I get that right?
It's a word. I don't know if it's. I don't know. I don't
it's
think
a it, word.
I don't think it's in the right context.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be as vanilla.
Yeah.
This week, in terms of the trade-ins. I still reckon I got it.
It's
right.
A word.
It is a word. So that'll about do us. Anything else? Anyone else you want to touch on before we do we go?
No, I
just
think
want to brag about how well are you going.
Yeah, I do. I'll do you a favour this week, and I'll put Caleb Sarong in my spicy take because I've been red hot recently. So
throw me a bone, mate. Thank you.
Put him in there for you.
think about the little fellas over here, mate.
Speaking of spicy takes, that'll be happening on Friday.
Friday, yeah. We did our live show last week, and we'll be back at it again. No more public holidays messing with the times as well. So back at our normal 5 o'clock Australian Eastern Standard Time. So check that one out. If you want the big boys early, they have been on fire. I am the number one ranked expert at the moment.
Oh, has last week bumped you right up?
Put me right up.
Hey, so you're doing something well.
8th overall in the Captain's Challenge. So hey. Probably just mauls myself there. But yeah, if you want those big boys early on the Thursday, go over to patreon.com/ballboys, as well as getting our trade insights, trade targets, and also Roger's round review and our exclusive Q&A podcast for members there. And until next time, guys, we'll see you later. Bye.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.